Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John, a scare in Foxborough last night for David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers, a mid-foot sprain for Cam Newton. I don't know where you come down on things like this, but you know, if I'm the Steelers, I don't really get the point in playing Ben Roethlisberger Sunday night against Tennessee. What are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I think that if you do, you get him out real fast because you know the days of the old way, which is even as late as last year, taking that third game, dress rehearsal, you take the starting unit into the third quarter, you just can't do it anymore. It's too dangerous. And so, you know, it was 11 plays that Cam Newton was on the field, and he gets the mid-foot sprain that puts his, you know, I think he should be there for the opener. They're cautiously optimistic. But when you look, I mean, I've been counting it all up. There's only been three quarterbacks that have been on the field for more than 30 plays.
Who are they?
So that's half the game. And so, and you know, you look at the quarterbacks who are not going to be in there, I mean, and not play at all this preseason. I'm wondering about Matthew Stafford. Aaron Rodgers didn't play last night. He's not played. I mean, you've got, you know, Phillip Rivers isn't going to play. We'll see about Drew Brees. I mean, you've got 8 to 10 quarterbacks right now, some of the best in football, and it's better, like, at least the coaches are now thinking to keep them out as opposed to put them in there. And so when you look and you see what was the old preseason where you would have a quarterback, you know, play 25 to 30 plays in that third preseason game, right now I can't find more than, you know, four that have actually been out there for more than 20 plays.
John, you know who those guys are? Those starters that are getting significant snaps?
The ones who are getting significant snaps, well, nobody's getting significant snaps.
But you're saying more than 20. Who are the starters that have gotten more run? Do you know?
Well, let's see. You've got Case Keenum has had 51. It was 15, 15, 31.
Okay.
You've got, this is a surprising one. You know, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's had 67 in the last two games.
Wow.
That's surprising. You know, Andy Dalton's had a total of 46 in three games. And what you're also seeing is that the young quarterbacks, you know, the ones that are still in their rookie contracts, you know, they're going out there for some cameos, but now that's starting to slow down a little bit. You've got the one who's played the most right now is Randy Fitzgerald down in Miami with 60.
Oh, Fitzpatrick, you mean?
Fitzpatrick, yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah.
So a couple of thoughts on that. The first one I have is last year I went and did this research. Last year in week three, six teams benched their franchise quarterbacks. Five of those teams made the playoffs. So the idea that there's correlation that if you get off, you know, you play those guys in game three, they shake the rust off, they get hot at the beginning of the year, it carries you. At least for 1 year, that didn't happen. The other thing that comes to mind for me, John, is if so many franchise quarterbacks aren't playing in what used to be perceived as the biggest game of the preseason, wouldn't that force the NFL even more to think about and consider doing away with it?
Has to. I think that we have now seen that the four-game preseason is totally obsolete. It's not needed, and it's as old as a, you know, a bad hat that you might have. That you, it's like it's outdated. And so what you can see, and so much of this is the bright young offensive head coaches, because mm-hmm. you know, with Sean McVay, Doug Peterson, you know, they're the ones that kind of started this.
Matt Nagy,
and you know, they went to Super Bowls. And so their idea is have more scrimmages, and because again, in a scrimmage, you're going to accomplish more with your starters than any kind of a preseason game, because they're going to be out there for 2 hours under a controlled environment where they're not going to be hit, they're not going to be hurt, and you get a chance to work on things against different teams. And I think that's the way of the future. The problem is now for the league is to come up on, I kind of use the model of like $350 million mm-hmm. is what the revenue would be for a one preseason week. And so that's seven. If you do it to two, you have to get a $700 million. If you do one, it's $350. And I think you can make up the $350 by, you know, adding a couple playoff games. That's probably you know, $250 million. And then you find a couple other things that can work out, particularly with gambling and all that. I think you can make it up. But also, too, Think about what happens to the damage if you get an injury. I mean, Avery Williamson, what was he, a $7 million linebacker with the New York Jets? He blows out an ACL last week in a game, and so now he's out. What if you lose a Cam Newton? I remember Tony Romo got a Seattle game where he got knocked out for a large portion of the season. So in the end, I think it's time to cut it from four to three to two.
So do you think we could have next year three preseason games? Is that possible?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I know that's not part of the CBA, but they can adjust that if they wish, because either the league can implement it or they could collect the bargaining. But I have to think at this stage, it has to get there sooner than later, because this is just crazy right now the way it's going. I mean, look at the number of players that just aren't playing.
What do you make then of what Baltimore has done, winning 16 straight preseason games? Do you put any stock in that?
Not really, no, because they're preseason. I mean, last I checked 2 years ago, they didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
And then last year, it looked like they weren't going to make the playoffs with Joe Flacco at quarterback. And then for some reason, Lamar Jackson comes in there, does well, and they make the playoffs. But no, I think that that's the mission of John Harbaugh, to try to win these games. I think it does show that it's a team that has depth, because to win that many preseason games, you have to have your second and third teams good enough to beat the other team's second and third teams. But then what do you make of Atlanta? They've lost 12 consecutive preseason games.
Talking to John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider, on that last point, I think the Falcons will be good this year, don't you? I like that team.
I do, too. Well, I mean, because I think that the key for them is just keeping their defense healthy, because that didn't happen. They lost three of their best young players last year to serious season-ending injuries,
yep.
And they're all coming back. But offensively, they're going to be fantastic. I mean, Dirk Koetter was the guy that Matt Ryan was hoping was going to come back. He's there calling the plays. They're three deep at receiver. They've got a good Pro Bowl caliber tight end. Devonta Freeman, I think, should do well. And I think Ryan's going to throw for over 5,000 yards.
And the coach is calling the defensive plays there now, right?
Dan Quinn is.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. John,
and that's the thing, is, I mean, there's obviously when you have the head coach now taking over that responsibility, you can see he's on the hot seat. But I think that they can respond from the hot seat.
Well, John, I got to be honest with you. I wanted Tomlin to do that, because there's so much conjecture here about who's actually in charge of the Steelers defense. I get different answers from different people. Sometimes Keith Butler calls the play, sometimes Tomlin. I think when you have that kind of chaos and confusion and you don't know really who's in charge of the defense, in the end, that's a bad thing, right?
Yeah, you would think if there's confusion, it's a bad thing, but I still like Keith Butler. I know I covered him when he was a player. I've watched him go up through the ranks as a coach. I think he's a good coach, and I think this is going to be a very good defense. I mean, particularly now that Devin Bush has come in, because I think that he fills that void that they had when they lost Ryan Shazier.
So you're drinking the Devin Bush Kool-Aid. I am, too. 100%. Yeah, I am, too. I think he's going to be a big difference maker.
I did that from the very beginning, because when you looked at it, I mean, there were two great inside linebackers.
White and Bush.
One that went down, Devin White,
yep.
And then Devin Bush. And, I in every mock draft that I did, I had Devin Bush going to Cincinnati. Well, to trade up to 10 right ahead of Cincinnati, took away the chance to replace Montez Burfict. It also gave them a Pro Bowl caliber inside linebacker who can set the menu and get the plays in. So I think that was a beautiful move. And then you look at that linebacking core, it's perfect for this day and age. And where I say perfect for this day and age is, you've got three good young players who can run in what's a horizontal game right now. And that gives Vince Williams the chance to be a little bit more of a run stopper, gives him more ability to do what he does the best, and also gives him the ability to pass rush a little bit.
Yeah, the one guy you put in there I don't agree with, is I'm not a Dupree guy at all. 5.5 mm-hmm. sacks for $9 million next year. To me, I've not seen first-round production in the least from him, but it's a contract year, and I guess the people that would disagree with me would say it's now or never for him. What do you think is going to come out of this Antonio Brown helmet hearing today, John?
Nothing. I mean, I think it's just going to stand as it is, because he keeps on throwing up the same helmet, and it keeps on going back. And so I just get the feeling that they're going to rule against it, because they're against this particular helmet. I mean, particularly the 10-year helmet. And, of course, what he's trying to do is ratchet it up each year so that it can be a younger-type helmet than 10. But I get the feeling they're just not going to go for it.
Do you think that we've seen the last of the Antonio Brown soap opera in Oakland over this helmet? Do you think it's going to be a moot point in a few days, or do you think we'll see this continue to be a fiasco?
No, it's going to continue to go because, again, I mean, you saw how it played out the last couple of years, and
right.
It kept getting worse.
Yep.
I have to think that it's going to keep getting worse with Antonio. He may say that he's going to, you know, go behind the scenes, but that's not his nature. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, you know, hires social media people to keep him in social media.
Yep.
And so it's like, no, the soap opera is what he likes.
Is Patrick Chung going to get cut in New England?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's, you know, he has a hearing, I think, on the 28th, and it looks pretty bad because when they went into his house, you know, they were able to, you know, they found the cocaine, and then what they, which I don't know if he's married, got a girlfriend or anything like that. I mean, he may try to put it on the other person that might be in the house, but he's in trouble, and certainly with the cocaine, he's going to get suspended if it's going to be found guilty.
How long do you think it would take the NFL to suspend him? Could they do it right away?
Well, you know, they can put him under player conduct and do it, but I think that, you know, again, it's like anything else. You can never guess what's coming out of Roger Goodell's office
right.
when it comes down to any punishment. I mean, it's, you know, once you start to figure it out, it goes a different direction.
Do you think Belichick has zero tolerance for this kind of thing?
No, I don't think so. I think he's, you know, I think, you know, he likes Patrick Chung, and I think he'll stand by him as best he can. I mean, I still... You remember, they've stuck by players that have had difficulties before,
sure.
and I think they'll stick by Patrick Chung because, again, he's probably one of the senior members of that team with Bill Belichick.
Do you think when the Steelers go to New England in Week 1, Josh Gordon will be in the lineup for the Patriots?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think that, but he won't be starting, that's for sure, because he's not going to have hardly any practice.
But you think he'll be eligible? For the game.
I think he's going to be eligible without any question because they'll just have to take him off the NFI list. And, you know, my guess would be they'll probably find some way to, you know, get a few plays to him. Maybe it's 10, 15 plays. But I think he's going to be active in Week 1.
John, I said earlier in the week that I very rarely do I allow preseason football to influence my opinions on things. But I said earlier this week, I initially had the Steelers game in San Francisco as a loss. I flipped that to a win because I think Garoppolo is just another one of these quarterbacks who leaves New England like Castle or Mallett, you name it, and they're just not the same. And he looks absolutely atrocious to me. You're up there, up in the Pacific Northwest. You see the 49ers more than I do. You're more familiar with them. Where are you on Garoppolo at $28 million a year? Is this a legit franchise quarterback or not?
Right now he's not showing it, but it's almost – the body of work isn't there to really make a full judgment of that because, you know, he's had the injuries and didn't hardly play last year, was limited in his playing time in New England. He's done more good things in New England than he has San Francisco, but I'd still give him at least a chance to do some things. The big problem with the 49ers is their injuries. I mean, they're more injured than any other team in football. I mean, they're carrying about 10 or 11 key guys right now that are hurt, you know, from Nick Bosa to Jared McKinnon's not back from his ACL surgery. You know, they lost their swing tackle. There's so many guys hurt. There's like a couple guys hurt now on the offensive line. And so you put all that together, I mean, they're like last year.
Yeah.
Injuries pulled them down. Injuries are going to pull them down this year.
Well, the other thing about them I don't get is I know they made the trade with Kansas City and picked Bosa, but like their secondary only had two interceptions all year, John. Two?
Mm-hmm.
The entire season.
Seven total.
Right.
They had seven total.
And I don't.
They had seven turnovers
right.
total.
They had seven turnovers total, and they had two interceptions on the entire year. And they didn't draft anybody in their secondary, so I don't know. To me, who would you pick to win that division right now if you had to? Would it be the Rams?
It'd be the Rams, yeah. I mean, right now I got Seattle at about 8 or 9.
Okay.
If they can find a pass rush, then they can maybe get to 10 or 11. You know, because then they're going to have a real good offense, and it's just going to take time for their defense to come together.
Of these four teams that the Steelers play, Bengals, Bills, Dolphins, Cardinals, which game should be the most automatic win?
I'd say all four. I mean, Arizona's automatic because they're just not good on defense and they've got offensive line issues. You know, Buffalo is getting better, but still, I think Josh Allen's too raw of a quarterback right now. And who are the other two?
Cincy. And
he's not
Miami.
Going to be that good. Yeah, and Miami's going to be awful. Miami should get the first pick in the draft. So, you're looking at four of the really bad teams in the league.
And then you get Cincinnati twice, so that should be five wins. That's a nice building block. That's a nice foundation for a season. All right, John, great to talk to you. Good times.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk to you again next week. There you go, John Clayton.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.